You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well. Ten or so American critics who will actually see and review The Traitor, I will be one of nine of ten to make the joke. It's The Godfather 4, because you know, in some ways, like Godfather 3.5 or something here. But yeah, there's no not feeling that when you're watching The Traitor, and that's not. I don't even think sadly. Yes, I'm like. No, that's good. Yeah. I like that. I think Godfather films are...
I haven't seen any of the Godfather films.
Okay, so you're missing out because they're goddamn masterpieces.
I hear that.
They're like arguably the first two of the greatest films ever made. Yeah. And the third one is only given shit because it's not one of the greatest films ever made, but still pretty damn good.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, wow, pretty close.
We have Frank just in here gesturing wildly. Yes,
Frank
yes.
in the background, peanut gallery agreeing. So now your assignment, Mindy, is to go watch the Godfather films.
Okay. Which, on my free time.
And any person who finds considers themselves interested in film should really have
Most
put
definitely.
That in their top 10 films to see.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, like right up there with Apocalypse Now and Citizen Kane.
Haven't seen that one either.
Oh, come on, Mindy, you're killing me over here. See, you're giving us so much ammunition whenever we disagree with you now. It's like, yeah, but you haven't seen Insert the Blank.
We're that kind of petty.
Yeah.
Well,
but
I knew that.
I'm here with Mindy and Ben.
Hello.
We got to see a thing that, unlike The Godfather, this is not an American production. This is actually an Italian production written and directed by Marco Bellocchio, who is...
Based on a true story.
It's
so great hearing Chris try to say all these names.
I know. Yes. It's gonna, right? I'm not going to try, so just forget about it. But this is a guy who's been making films since the... Oh, my God. Since the 60s, since 1961. He's been around for a very, very long time, and as an actor as well. And... who's been living in Italy his whole life, and whereas in America we weren't as much like in tune with what was going on with the actual, it's not the mafia, it's the Cosa Nostra, as right. it were.
Well, even the Italians are like, the part of the mafia, aren't you? He's like, no, it's the Cosa Nostra, get your shit right.
I don't think,
they're like, the press calls it the mafia.
Yeah,
I don't think
any member of the so-called mafia has ever not said, the mafia is bullshit, there's no mafia, that's just that fucking movie. It's the Cosa Nostra, which you're like, isn't it just semantics at this point, pretty much?
Pretty much.
No, ours was respectable. It's like, one of the movie, they were pretty
made a big point
too.
Of saying
Jesus.
That, too. But this is about the true story of Mafioso. Yeah, I'm going to go there.
Yes, sure.
Tommaso Bruschetta, who
I
was...
Although I kept calling it, thinking it was
Bruschetta. Yeah, made
and
you
just,
hungry.
Yeah.
You and I caught waiter.
Yeah, that's actually my plan for later.
I'd like some crispy again. Bread. He was the first of the Sicilian mafia who actually turned on the mob and became a full witness and was one of the instrumental people in detailing for the legal environment exactly how this worked, what the pyramid of order was with the, yeah. you know.
He brought down a lot.
He brought down hundreds
mm-hmm. of basically people. He's like, I'm tired of their bullshit. Like, I joined up because... they're like, yeah, no, we're going to do cool stuff that's, you know, helping people out, but helping ourselves. And it's like, oh, no. No, these guys became assholes. I'm done with them.
Pretty much.
Yeah, he, like, the premise is where it starts, where it's like, okay, so here's a meeting of various people involved at higher levels who are together to try and make peace last because heroin has kind of come full on and has sort of made things go a little crazy in the mob. And,
yeah, it's a Saints Day celebration.
Yeah, and almost immediately after that, like literally, like the movie starts with like showing all these people in the crowd and showing what their names are. And then the next 15 minutes are just watching all those people get gunned down and killed. And you're like, Jesus Christ, why do they bother to introduce them all then?
And they all have really long names, so I couldn't even know quite who they were.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And they don't explain it well, but like you can kind of pick up, oh, the, like they start showing these numbers, like, oh, these are the numbers of which one of them they were killed as. Because, like, evidently there was, like, a couple hundred people killed in this
whole... Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it got up to, like, 158,
yeah,
I
it was
think, in that little number dialy thing.
It was a massacre, and it wasn't even like a war with everybody at everybody. It was this one guy out of them who was like, no, fuck this. I'm going to be in charge. And what it comes down to is this guy, Tommaso, who is old school and has gone, look, I don't want any part of this new Cosa Nostra. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, the rules used to be you didn't go after family.
Yeah, or know, children. Yeah, or
it was and, between us.
And we didn't deal with hard drugs. It was like we took it was like the first Fast and the Furious movie.
Yeah, when either guy's like, yeah, remember we were doing the cigarette trade? We made a few thousand dollars here and there. It was great. Yeah, I miss those days. Yeah. Like, shit.
It's like once heroin got involved, everyone went money crazy, which reportedly is exactly what actually happened and brought down the mob. It's like, oh, everybody lost their goddamn minds and it turned into a bloodbath. So when he is caught by the legal authorities, and he's living in Brazil. He's not even leaving in Italy.
Yeah, that's the beginning. Like, he tells one of his buddies, "Is like, I'm out."
Yeah, he's like, "I don't want any more part of this. We're going to go hide in Brazil." And they're trying to, the mob, that guy is trying to kill everyone, is trying to find him and can't because he's hidden himself too well. But
yeah, because he's making friends in Brazil. Like, there's even a point where this guy's like, yeah, you know, he said, you know, he picked up on this. He goes, all right, cool. What did he ask for? 1.2? Okay, cool. Give him like 4. Just keep him quiet. I don't give a shit.
The local authorities have found him, though. They extradited him back to Italy, where at first he's like going with the whole like, no, you don't talk. But he's watching what's happening more and more on the outside. He's becoming more and more worried for his old family. And eventually he's like, you know what? Fuck this shit. This
his
is
wife
not
convinces him.
This is not the Cosa Nostra I was part of. This is some other really terrible thing. And although it's not spoken, you can hear him thinking, like, maybe the best thing for this is to take all these motherfuckers down to stop this from before it gets any worse than it already
is. You see the moment before he gets arrested that he kind of starts to realize everything is fucked, because he calls his family because he hears about the death going on, and then he's basically being told, yeah, both of your other sons died. He's like, why don't you call that guy? He's like, that guy won't talk to me. It's like, the fuck he won't. It's like, oh shit, we're screwed.
And weirdly, all of this is just the first act of this film. Like, after that, this is basically a courtroom drama with into a courtroom drama. As at first, it's like him being interrogated by the judge, Giovanni Falcone, who was actually apparently treated as quite a hero in Italy at the time, like a very important
person. The guy is shown to be very much like incredibly white knight, like picture like Harvey Dent from like Batman
before he turns into Two-Face.
Yeah, from the first set of the Dark Knight. It's like, he is that guy. Like, legitimately, he's like they're like, well, you know, they're coming after you. He's like, yeah, well, you know, I could die in a plane crash. I'd rather die
because
I did something good.
You know, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, damn, you're a badass.
So he starts giving them the information, and things really in this movie go. I don't know if you've ever at all had any interest in following Italian, like, big trials, but they are fucking circuses. They are insane.
To the point that it was somewhat distracting. Like, you know when you're in a big gathering and you have a person being like, all right, everybody, just shut up. Okay, I can't, we can't do the thing until you shut up and get into groups and
that's usually me.
Yeah, and it's like, that was a lot of several of these court scenes, was just the judge going, shut the hell up. We can't continue until you just shut up.
I don't even mean just this. I mean, like, in general, if you like, there was a documentary on Netflix about the American girl who was in Italy.
Oh, yeah,
who's accused of, like, what was the name of it, Frank? Just go ahead and say it.
Amanda Knox.
And there's some courtroom stuff in there that you're like, what is this shit?
Yeah, exactly.
This is like being, like, this is like a Lifetime Network version of a courtroom. It's so insane.
There's some better insane stuff in this, because, like, you know, you picture the mafioso guys and you're like, no, these guys legitimately, some of them are the exact stereotype you picture.
Yeah,
where, like, the judge, like, using intercoms, like, now you can fucking hear me, I'll keep shouting at
they're all like there's like 30 or 40 of them in jail cells in the back of the courtroom who are just constantly yelling out, like, ah, castrato.
There's a guy with like his cigars, like, now that my doctor said I need a cigar. Don't worry about it.
Otherwise, I'll hyperventilate.
Yeah. And then, like, the other guy's like stripping naked and shouting
at them. Another guy sews his lips shut in protest.
Like, yeah. It's the weirdest goddamn thing, and it's kind of riveting, though.
Yeah, that was the main thing for a movie that, if you were to take this on paper and look at it, I'd go, that sounds like maybe kind of interesting, but a little dull. Yeah. And I didn't find this dull at all. It moves, all things considered, for the fact that not a lot actually happens on screen after the first act. Yes. It moves still relatively fast because it's deeply entertaining watching. Like, if you know, maybe Italians would be bored by this. I don't know. Be like, yeah, every trial's like that. But, like, for us, I was just holy shit, this is chaos.
The main issues with it I had is basically, like, it's not like that there's nothing going on. It's just more that the pacing gets a little bit weird. You're like, that's a great ending. Oh, it's still going.
Yeah.
That'd be a good ending. It's still going.
Yeah, that was a big problem I had because, like, you know, you say it moved fast and it's like, yeah, but it also felt like it dragged. And it's like, looking through it, it's like, it felt like a lot of the scenes were either too short or too long.
Yeah.
And, like there were several songs in this thing that it's like, you could have cut after the first two bars and be done. There was a thing like, there was a sentence, one of the more striking ones, like there's a sentence between him and, you know, his other informant buddy being like, you know, remember back in prison when we used to get all the pussy. And then they had an entire scene where it's just him having sex with a woman in jail. It's like, you didn't need to have that scene.
Oh, I disagree completely.
Yeah, I actually think that scene was useful.
I disagree completely. I
thought it was a complete
waste.
I mean,
the point of that whole scene was like, oh, he looks and everyone's supposed to have left and there's a guy who's died in his bed and he just casually like covers him up and goes and has sex, doesn't even concern him. And that's the impact of that scene. It's not that, oh, look, he got to have sex in prison. It was to illustrate the type of person he was.
A little bit different
point.
With that, but is that he's also respecting the guy's like, well, here's your final resting, and I'm gonna
it's
go back to my
both.
Work.
It's like there's a sense of honor, but it's hypocritical,
and also everybody like respects him, like, all right, we're just gonna use the fuck now, everybody out. It's like, all right, great.
I mean, I definitely feel like the running time, which is 135 minutes, which is long for any movie, even Marvel films, is you know, I mean, at times you definitely feel it, but it was seems like that I actually really liked.
Yeah.
I thought, if anything, there were some of the scenes that were manic, were like, okay, you've already established the atmosphere, you can get past this and move on. Some of those quiet scenes that really illustrate who this person is, I really liked quite a bit. I felt, if anything, it took a while to where you really felt you were starting to understand who this person is as a human being.
Yeah, and that was when the courtroom stuff started happening for me.
Yeah.
It's like the whole first part of it is like, once the courtroom stuff stopped, it felt like that stuff was not inconsequential, but like wasn't necessarily stuck onto the movie in a way that quite meshed.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It all kind of worked for me. I just felt like it was something I wish I had watched as a miniseries.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm like, I would have loved to have watched this in a series of like three segments. Because it felt like it was three, like segmented into threes in some ways. But I really, there's nothing about it I don't like except for the length. I thought this was genuinely a really good film. I could have used even more length if it had been a miniseries. And I would have liked that first act to be extended. Because it takes a while before you even understand, wait, why is this guy being arrested exactly? And what's happening? It's like, very confusing trying to figure out.
Because he's clearly being arrested by Brazilian police. Like, it's not like in, you know, a multi, it's not like Interpol or anything like that. Like, and it's like, okay, what does Brazil have on him? Like, well, you're trafficking drugs. It's like, there's not really any evidence he was doing that. And he's like, no, there's not any drugs here. Like, I get my money from the failures of the drug trade, but it's not me.
It was a little confusing what exactly was happening there, what exactly his relationship was, in fact, at the Cosa Nostra. Yeah. And it wasn't until late in the movie that I felt I had started to solidify at all what those things were. Right. And it's not the sort of thing that there was any reason to hide. You felt like, okay, why aren't we getting this out of the way right off the bat? There's even a long scroll of text in the beginning that really doesn't tell you any of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I said, I feel like this is the sort of thing that would have been better viewed over a series of nights in pieces with even more information in there, because it's a truly, really interesting story.
And what it does well is almost like a character study, because you are with the same guy the whole time, and I'm going to go ahead and be the one to butcher
really
his name.
Yes.
Pierre Francisco Pavino, I believe.
Don't look at me.
I mean, that's as close as I'm going to get.
He was in Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian, and World War Z.
He was in Angels and Demons, too. I think he's the lead detective trying to follow him, I think. It's been years since I watched that movie.
Sure.
But, no, I think he's great in this. Like, he has to play a handful of ages, but, like, he handles each of them with grace, and, like, with his character, he has a gravitas to him, and there's a lot of scenes where it's like, you know, all these other mafioso guys are calling each other cuckolds and cursing each other out. Mm-hmm. And he's just basically comes out and goes, oh, he's lying. You know, he's known me his whole life. He's like, no, I don't know this man at all. It's like, look, you know, you're gonna lie to me. I don't really care. This is the truth. I have it on paper. You've read the paper. They've all read the paper.
It's just that there's that point where he's made his peace with what's happening.
Yeah.
And his only concern is making sure that his family is going to be okay.
Exactly.
And at that point, like, he's not feeling super emotional anymore, and everyone else there is. It's kind of, they're all freaking out because they're trying to prevent themselves from going to jail for the rest of their lives, and he's like, my deal's set, dudes. I don't know.
There was a scene you actually had missed because you had stepped away, where he's coming back from getting a suit tailored to for being at court, and as they're driving back, they're driving through Rome, and there's people have spray painted graffiti calling him a rat and calling, and then literally a bunch of regular people dressed in white are having a parade saying he's taking money out of our pockets because the mafia pays us. He's
taking our jobs,
and he's just sitting there in the car like. Like, this bullshit.
People
like,
don't know what's actually good for them. Just look at all the people who actually elected Trump.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, let's go to final thoughts. Ben, go ahead.
Yeah, I honestly, like, I came into this with no idea what it was. I read, like, a very brief synopsis before I signed up to be on the screening, but I didn't look it up again for, like, the next 2 weeks before this one, especially not tonight. I was like, I don't remember what it was. Remember something mob-related, maybe? You know? And honestly, it's really an intriguing movie with that. And again, the performances sell it. It's got a great sense of humor about itself. Like, it doesn't like say it has to be dead dry serious. It's like, no, we can play up just kind of how weird and odd this is. There's a great scene, though, at the end where it's like, he's on top of his house or apartment in Florida with an AR-15. I'm like, that's just Florida. That's not a mob thing. That's just Florida. But, you know, throughout this whole movie, though, it's like little things like that. It's like, it's kind of also, like, really deeply, you know, emotional for this character. You do connect with him because you spend so much time with him. I just wish that it didn't have weirdly paced moments where you're like, oh, it's the end. Oh, it's not. Like, there's so many great endings. It was almost the Return of the King scenario again. It was like, oh, good, we're over? Oh, we're not.
No, we're not. The hobbits have to jump up and down on the bed with him in celebration.
God, so it basically just makes it feel long.
Or they go to the Silverlands.
But I do enjoy every one of those next scenes that we went to. Overall, I'm going to give it 8.5 out of 10 mustaches that disappear and come back again.
Mindy?
Well, excuse me. I think you kind of hit the nail on the head with in regards to it being choppy. Because, like, there were, as I was, you know, driving here, trying to think about what I was going to say, I spent a lot of time going, making a lot of those noises, being like, well, because, you know, it's hard to, it feels like there's absolutely an arc. There's absolutely an arc in regards to what happened with the not mafia, because they're whatever
Cosa
they are.
Nostra.
Thank you. That it feels like there's absolutely an arc in regards to him and his experience, but the way that it was presented makes it feel choppy and makes it feel disjointed. So you're like in traffic being like, wait, where, how I'm trying to go on this journey smoothly with you. And I'm not. And there were bits of it's like during the credits, I went to the Wikipedia page once I realized like, wait, this is a biopic essentially. And I looked in about who this guy was and what he did. And like, there were moments in that could have really added to that emotional arc and added to that smoothness. Like, there was a point in the film where, I mean, it's not a spoiler because it's real, you find out a guy murdered those two sons. He testified in this trial. And at the end of that trial, he gave this guy a hug and was like, I forgive you. I understand. You didn't have a choice because you were part of the Nostra, the Mafia.
Cosa Nostra.
Thank you. Just like, and like, that would have been an amazing moment. Instead, it was the next scene of him grieving instead. And it's like, the dichotomy, I think, would have added more in regards to his arc, but instead it didn't and made it choppy. But like I said, and you know, like you said, a miniseries would have been better in order to smooth everything out. But other than, and also there were like surrealist images throughout the thing, which in a real life story also added to the choppiness, where it's like me, who has been in plenty of surrealist play, was like, what is the image you're trying to tell me right now? So yeah, but once you get through that choppiness and the sort of traffic-y start and stoppy way of going through the storytelling. There is a solid story, but you have to go through the storytelling in order to get to it. So I am going to say, I'm going to say 3 out of 5 bags of heroin.
Yeah, I personally really enjoyed this. In fact, I'll probably go back and watch this again at some point. I also am kind of a sucker for mafia films, especially ones that try very hard to be more accurate. You know, I mean, The Godfather was a life-changing experience for me when I saw it. I've gone back and revisited it and the sequel many, many, many times. There are only a handful of truly great mob films. Most of them are either are done by Coppola or Martin Scorsese. Sure. You know, I think maybe all of them. But this is one that I'm definitely going to put on that list of, like, if you really like a great mob film, this is a really, really good one. It's totally a different type of movie than those others. This is like a film that starts where most mob films end. It's like, oh, here's what happens after they end their run and get busted, and then this is all like the extended version of what happens during the credits of most of a mafia film, where it's like, and then this person went to jail for this long, and you're like, yeah, okay, this is that story, and it's really cool.
Yeah.
And it's more in it, there's something about it feels more genuine and real than any other mafia film, partially because it is has sort of naturalism to it.
I do understand that, like, the scene when, like, after the first big court case where they're like, just give you the long list of people and their sentences. Like, that's pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah. Like, lots and lots of people got... Although, I want to know the story behind the one guy who was, like, acquitted. And you're like, wait, what? Why was that guy acquitted?
I don't know about the one guy who's going to kill the others in revenge and they never got back to.
Yeah. I mean, one presume you could probably make the traitor, too, if you wanted to. But, and find out, oh, here's what happened with the next generation. But to all reports, the Cosa Nostra is... has nowhere near the power they once had. And it's partially because of this. They were decimated because of these events. I don't know whether that's true or not. I'm sure someone out there could present plenty of evidence to argue otherwise. But either way, this is a deeply entertaining film that I think isn't going to be for everyone. I mean, clearly, it's for people who have any trouble with subtitles, wow, this text moves fast.
Yes,
especially the ones with text on screen, because they try to put it up in, like, 4 pieces that go really quickly.
Yeah, it goes by real quick sometimes.
And it has the, you know, the curse of being a foreign language, so sometimes the translations are kind of clunky.
Yeah.
I've read many a play that is like, this does not sound like English.
Oh. I mean, it wasn't that bad compared to... I mean, I grew up watching, Hong Kong movies in the 90s where the translations were like... like, you're like... did the guy who actually translate this speak more than a few words of English? Because I'm not sure he did. But all things considered, I guess I've got learned to appreciate how much better they've gotten since back then. I really enjoyed this, though. I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 Italian incels.
Yeah, I was going to say, I haven't heard somebody call a cuckold this much since the last Statesman article I commented on.
Right? Well, in that case, they were right, though, to be fair.